Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, once again, it's that time, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time. It is that time once again on a Wednesday evening. We're talking, we are on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and this is the Kay Thompson Live Show. I am the person that's known as the Sun, also named Citizen Payne, and you are a lady.
Kay Thompson from Kay Thompson Live. Hello, everyone. Welcome and happy holidays. And Eric? Take over because, you know, I have something to do this evening. I'm getting ready for the holidays and leave it up to you all.
Well, okay. All right. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, like I was saying, 8 to 9 p.m. on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And this is the Kay Thompson Live Show. The news of the day, as I'm sure you all might know, is, I guess the biggest news story of the day is Matt Lauer, ain't it? Matt Lauer getting fired for being a wild dude. And I don't know what was on his mind when he was doing these things, but I guess he wasn't really thinking about things too tough. What do you think? So what we want to talk about is that stuff and a whole bunch of other stuff. You know, your boy Trump is going crazy, everybody. He's going crazy. Tweeting about people, This guy, he's a special character, I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Let's open the phone. Let's go to our resident guest host, Mr. Byron Saunders. He's always got something, some interesting input. If I can get we have a little bit of technical difficulty. There we go. All right. Byron Saunders, how you doing this evening, sir?
Well, it's nice to be back home in New York City after being in the Atlanta. And, you know, I was down there feeding the hungry and with the Hosea Feed the Hungry programs, fed 10,000 people for Thanksgiving. That's another whole story, the miracle of loaves and fishes. But you come back to Sin City, that's I guess what we can call New York and Washington, D.C., you got Matt Lauer. Oh, my goodness.
Whoa.
NBC.
Whoa, bro. Don't indict the whole city now. You get ready to take some enemies now, bro. Don't indict the whole city of New York. As someone who has many lived in New York for some time and is a neighboring sister state, I take umbrage with that, sir. Just because your boy Matt Lauer.
Interesting to note. If you add up the number of folks who have been been outed for sexual harassment. I think other than Harvey Weinstein, number 45 still has the most against alleged sexual harassment incidents, and he's still got a job. So how does that happen, Eric and Kay and Wayne? I mean, is there something wrong with this picture?
Yeah, there's something wrong with him, certainly. And not only did he get on Twitter to talk about Matt Lauer, he took the opportunity. He's always taken opportunity to take shots at people. Just like the other day, he called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas, and took this opportunity to take a shot at the heads of NBC, talking about maybe they'll cover him right. Everything with this guy always comes back to him. And I'm going to go on ahead and I like some of my friends know me as a nickname giver too, you know. And I always thought it was real funny, you know. Had I been the presidential nominee, the conversation with Eric, nominee Payne would be like, oh, you're a nickname given presidential candidate, huh? Would think that Donald Trump would probably not want to be the dude to be given nicknames since he's got so much for everybody to work with. But for now, Eric Payne is calling him President Asshole because that's what he is. Every time this guy does not miss an opportunity to fall below the bar. And not take it, and not take things above, and not act like a head of state. This guy never misses an opportunity calling people Pocahontas, which Native Americans consider a racial slur, while he's supposed to be honoring it. This man is not fit to be president. He's not fit to even be dog catcher, in my estimation. And at one time, everybody thought this guy was a great, big, fantastic, art-of-the-deal businessman. Come to find out that the people in New York don't even do business with him because he doesn't pay his bills, because he's always running out on what he owes people. This guy is a complete traitor and fluke. He's unbelievable.
And the worst of all of it, Eric, the worst of all of it is, in that ceremony with the Native American Navajo Indians, the code breakers, there he is with the picture of Andrew Jackson right behind them, who was the president who signed the order for the Trail of Tears that is still one of the worst Holocausts in this nation against the Native American Indians. That president's picture was behind the Navajo Indians as he was calling out Pocahontas. I mean, that's the most insensitive, racist individual in the White House. And you know something, Mueller's investigation is one thing. And yes, we're moving closer to the indictments every single day, and it's going to come down hard. But the reality is this, when we still have to deal with the racism that's in the White House. He is the Ku Klux Klan. And we still got to deal with the sexism that's in the White House. That is 17 allegations of sexual harassment from the President of the United States, who's now denying that's his voice on the tape that where he was grabbing women's private parts. You know, I mean, at some point, the lies have added up to a person who is not only not competent, but he is pathological. He's got mental issues that Republicans are now questioning his mental acuity because of the things that he's tweeting and retweeting about the Muslims and out of Great Britain. I mean, the man is a dangerous individual. It's time to remove him from office.
He's a menace to everything. Let's see if this is Wayne Gilman. Is this you, Wayne? I don't know because it appears to be a 212 number. Is this Mr. Wayne Gilman? All right, 212 number. Then you go ahead and continue to listen unless you wanted to chime in real quick. If not, I'm going to close your mic again, 212-531. I'll close your mic. All right. Byron, I mean, I think he's a menace. He's a menace. He's a menace to society, to quote a great movie. But I think that Donald Trump is. This guy is he admitted to it on camera, but then he's going to go back and say his voice was doctored. After a while, it gets to be insulting to the average person. I mean, it doesn't get to be insulting to me because I think he's an idiot, but it should be insulting to his supporters that he thinks they're so stupid that he can say anything that he wants and everybody's going to go with it. That's why, like you're saying, people don't think that he ain't right. He ain't right in their head, this guy. He is not right. Because who does that?
Exactly.
Whose ego is so large and so big that you think everything that comes out of your mouth, every single thing that comes out of your mouth is the greatest, most wonderfulest thing ever uttered to mankind. This guy is a narcissist. On a deadly level, on a dangerous level, and for this type of individual to be holding the office of president of the United States, this is like back in the day when we had, you know, like you said, presidents like Jackson and all these other racists, and you know, when America was like straight up racist, we believe in slavery country, and here we have a president who clearly is racist, clearly has got a problem with people of color, clearly can't help himself in terms of insulting people. You know, and he needs to be out of office. He needs to be elected out. He needs to be impeached out. He needs to be removed out of office. He needs to be a vote of no confidence by his cabinet, which probably is not going to happen because, to tell you the truth, I got no confidence in any of them. So they're all down with the lies because they perpetuate his lies. And if you're someone like John Kelly, you go even further and you make up your own lies, even though you're on videotape, even though there's proven that you're a liar on videotape. So these people will stop at nothing. And it is a real, to me, it's obvious that they're making their attempts to take the country in a certain direction, which is backwards, bass-ackwards, taking this country back, trying to take it back as far as they can. And also now the new tax bill, the tax bills come out where College students are going to end up paying more money because they're not going to be able to write off the interest on their loans. Grad students are going to end up paying more money because they want to include that money they get to continue their graduate studies as part of their income. So they're going to end up paying more money. If they've gone through, experts have gone through this plan to talk about which group, each group that's going to end up paying more money. If you're in a certain range, certain price range, you're going to pay more money, the poor. And then it's going to be the people in the under $50,000 a year. In 2 or 3 years, they're going to end up paying more money. Then they said people under $100,000 are going to end up paying more money in 2010 in taxes, while the rich people get a tax break. So the insanity that was once prevalent in America seems to be back, because we have a racist running the country. We have people that have voted for this guy, don't care what he does. He can stick it to him as long as he keeps on talking what he's talking. They care not. This is insane. This is insane. In my lifetime, I've never seen something like this. I thought the stealing of the election by the Bushes was something. This is something way more detrimental, because at least they had an inkling of government, and at least they had some class. This guy's got to be known.
The other dangerous thing, Eric, is really the Republican Congress and Senate, whose members are playing this Russian roulette kind of game with the American tax dollar, as well as the denial of the allegations against their commander-in-chief and the head of their party. You've got a judge in Alabama who is literally representing a party whose commander-in-chief has as many sexual harassment allegations against the commander-in-chief, if not more, than the judge whose sexual harassment issues are front and center on the GOP table, and yet they have less concerns about that as much as trying to force this tax plan down the throats of a nation, which for any number of reasons does not need to have give more money to the rich. There is nothing in this plan that guarantees that the wealth that the rich will reap from this tax plan will create jobs. There's no guarantee of that. We already know the trickle-down theory has not worked in the 40 years since Reagan tried to initiate it, and now they're trying to reinvent this lie as if it's going to be a job creation, it's going to raise the minimum wage, when already 25 states out of the 50 states have already signed saying that they are not going to raise the minimum wage. So there's a incongruent thing going on in Washington that perhaps what's Mueller's investigation, and I'll let you respond to this, because with the 22 indictments that are about to be dropped on the floor and with Flynn being flipped, it's about to name some serious names, not just in the Trump administration, but all the way up to the leadership of the GOP.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for him to start naming these names, these people to come out and get revealed. They've all been, like you said, they've been in cahoots with him. They've enabled this guy. They tried to ride out all of his all of this really despicable actions. Excuse me, by someone who should bring at least do the lip service of trying to bring the country together, like so many other of his predecessors who were in contentious elections. At least give up the lip service of saying we're all one country, instead of taking the opportunity at your inaugural address talking about the American carnage is over. This guy, he was acting like he was a conquering general that took over the country, and that the country was in strife, and him and his army marched in and took over the country. It's unbelievable that this man is in office, and the things, the tweeting, Obama, I mean, he was all over the place over the weekend, right? That's what they said. He tweeted back to the birther issue. He was talking crazy about Matt Lauer and the people at MSNBC and this and that. When is this guy doing work? When is he working? He used to talk about how much Obama played golf. He's played golf more than any other president that's been in office.
Altogether.
Altogether, exactly. So he's cost, I mean, you know, protecting his family here and there because they want to move to the White House. He cost more money for the Secret Service than Obama did the whole 8 years he was in office in his first year.
Yeah. Well, I will say one thing about the current issues on Capitol Hill about sexual harassment. In a way, believe it or not, it will absolutely impact on Trump. Notice how it's narrowing itself down to the at least we have Franken, having at least admitted to his harassment and with an apology that has been accepted, whereas nobody in the GOP has even stepped forward to acknowledge other, because you had Trump that said, yeah, that was my voice on the tape, and now he's denying it. You have Judge Roy Moore, who's standing, he's like, this is stand the ground moment for him down there in the South. And with all due respect to evangelicals and this Christian right movement in this country, which fuels the Tea Party and the GOP, they have a serious moral problem that's not just going to stop once this is revealed and all this shakes down, because it's in their house. It's in their backyard. And ultimately, what's going to happen on Capitol Hill, yes, the ethics committees will stand and do what's needed to be done. And women politicians right now, all those who just won a couple weeks ago in the midterm elections, women are taking a more positive approach to fixing the problems in this country, not just on Capitol Hill, but even in the family unit itself. So this is kind of a critical moment for our nation that perhaps we are being a witness to something extraordinary, Eric. And, you know, we can talk about as much as it's affecting some of our favorite hosts on, TV and Hollywood issues and political careers, but isn't it time that it starts to be cleaned up? I mean, it's long overdue.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, you know, the whole, you know, the way, as I said before, the way the world, the way our country, just the whole treatment and position of women in our society has been second class. They've had second class citizenship. They've been treated as accessories to the man's life. And, you know, all of the behavior that happens as a result of that, it being that type of society, you know, that's all a residual effect of the type of society that we live in, that we presented, right? I mean, you know, the man is the dominant one, woman is one. You know, these guys walk around taking their clothes off in front of women, doing these things in front of women. That's kind of bizarre to just decide to do it if somebody didn't really ask you for. I mean, I don't get that mentality. I mean, you know, Matt Lauer allegedly, you know, he did that in his office. I mean, that's really surprising, especially they were talking about how he was going in on Bill O'Reilly. Apparently, this, what the news says, his own network, former network, says that, you know, he was engaging in this activity for a while, since the Winter Sochi Olympics, that he was doing that. You know, people talk about Hollywood, this and that. The higher ups might be the ones that might be caught up in this abuse and power tripping scandal and stuff like that. And of course, it goes on a rank and file level as well. But I can tell you for a fact that when you work on these movie sets and studios and places like that, that have a lot that they could lose where they to get caught up in a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Excuse me. They require that people that the harassment and the standards and practices person come by and talk to everybody. Everybody's got to read the little handbook about harassment and all that stuff. And that's I've worked on shows that where they had, that was mentioned, that had to be something. So, I mean, in certain circumstances in Hollywood, they try to be a little proactive about it in terms of getting in those situations. I was actually working on a show where the star of the show had to leave the show because that same exact accusation. And
right.
It was a big thing. It was a lawsuit, and the person was suing the show, Warner Brothers, everybody that was connected with this. They were getting sued by this person because of the actions of the star of the show. And they
Eric, is that back when this current administration took over and after the inauguration, it was reported. I remember the story. I read it. It was reported that the Trump administration denied needing to have the ethics officer give the entire seminar standard operating procedure. Now, once the transition of a new administration takes office, that the ethics officer comes in and gives an orientation session to the new administration. Well, the Trump story, as I read it, as I recall back in January, they denied needing to have that officer come in and do the orientation session. And now you see what's shaking out is the very reasons why it is done. And it was a standard procedure that they decided they didn't need. And look at all the rules and the ethics of an administration who is not going by the book on anything. They're breaking the emollients guidelines with respect to the Trump family taking in gifts. I understand the Trump Hotel in Washington, the Nancy Hanks Building, which was formerly the home of the National Endowment of the Arts, has really been ripping the federal government off of money should be paid by people visiting and staying there on government tax dollars, but the administration is being paid directly for those individuals staying there. It's so much that's going on. It's as they say in the South, something really rotten in the cotton. And there's a lot of rotten in this cotton, okay? And so we are seeing it unravel in a manner in which it's not just a sexual harassment issue. It is a full-blown ethics issue of racism, sexism, a power-hungry craziness of money and wealth, which is literally raping our treasury, and not paying any attention to the needs of the infrastructure, which is falling apart every day, if not by Mother Nature, with respect to the hurricanes. Do you know that's over 100,000 people have relocated from Puerto Rico to Orlando, Florida? Over 100,000 Puerto Ricans.
That's the numbers they were given. Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's nice to see all these other people stepping up where the federal government, where Trump is trying not to help. You know, you have the guy who wrote Hamilton performing it there. I've seen Mark Anthony, Ricky Martin, a lot of people that are stepping up. Governor Cuomo stepping up to help out. And a lot of the first responders from New York that are helping out Puerto Rico. And it's encouraging to see because, he's treating them like George Bush treated black people, in my estimation. This is Eric, me talking, not anybody, not the show's perspective. But he's treating them, in my estimation, like George Bush treated black people during Hurricane Katrina, as if they're not
absolutely
real Americans. And to let them, the majority of the island with no power and all this and the whole thing about the containers just off of shore and they didn't have it, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. This guy, he's not even a good chief executive officer because clearly he's not getting anything done for anybody else but himself, I want to talk about really briefly about the new news about, the sexual harassment. Everybody's going down. Matt Lauer this morning, that was really surprising thing. Just that it came out. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying it's surprising that he did that. I don't know him personally, so I don't know if I could be surprised or not. I guess I am a little surprised that, you know, you do have a perspective about a lot of these people from their public persona that they present to people, and just like Cosby, you know, just like a lot of these other people. But people often do not take into account that, you know, a lot of people, they got another side to them, you know.
Right.
A lot of people have
right.
another side to them that, you know, some that might be a little freaky or might be a little whatever, you know, and they got another side to them that's not their public side, you know. We got
not only just Matt Lauer, there's Congressman Conyers, and shaking the political arena because it's on both sides of the House, Democrats and Republicans. Nobody is innocent from any angle that you look at. But what's really important, though, I think, Eric, is that the exposure of a misogynistic, male-driven society is really part of the issues that has been hidden for so long. You look at the issues of policy that the GOP has pushed forward, not just in the current administration, but their platform was anti-women, okay?
Yeah.
And it's strong issues that are now being exposed as why we understand they are anti-women policies, because there are men who are abusing women, and it's time to expose the hidden agendas based on sexism and racism. And as I heard this evening on CNN, that of the issues in the Congress, the two most prevalent issues of the ethics findings are sexism and issues of racism. The two biggest issues out of the Ethics Commission, which tells you sexism was number two with 19 charges, I believe, and with racism, 33-some incidents reported in the Congress, in the Senate and the House. So we already know that there's a bigger issue that's underpinning some of the policies that are against health care issues for women, issues of voting suppression against African Americans. And it's not, I mean, you go down the line of the administration's current agendas and policies that they're pushing forward, and each and every one of them have a taint of sexism and racism addressed to them.
Absolutely. 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 You know, the whole, that's been what they've been doing forever. I mean, the good old boys club, the good old white boys club, that's been their agenda forever. I wanted to talk about a little bit, something I noticed years ago that goes on in Hollywood, right? And this was
just kind of
an observation about how they kind of groom some of the younger starlets, go from being young women to actresses to whatever. And I've noticed that depending on how the starlet looks, the young girl looks, either some of them are being groomed to have kind of a sexual vibe to them, a sexual aura, and others aren't. And you can tell how they pick, the ones they pick and choose, if they strike those type of men that are making the decisions in a sensual manner. Young starlet, Jennifer Lawrence, comes to mind to me, because I remember I didn't even hear about her when she first came out. I know she was this young girl that was in this movie, but I first really became aware of her, you know, on the red carpet when they all have the pictures and stuff, and she had this red dress on. You could see she was probably early 20s, late teens, and she looked good. She looked really good and has a fantastic body and shape, where even Jack Nicholson wanted to shout out and say hello to her, you know? That was the thing. She said, wow, Jack Nicholson just said hello to me. But there's a there's almost like a kind of a, not a grooming, but to present them like this is going to be the next young starlet. This young girl goes from being a young girl, and now she's growing to blossoming into a beautiful young woman. But it's almost like some of them they try to push too soon in this in a mature image, in my estimation. I mean, Calvin Klein with Brooke Shields all those years ago when with the controversial Calvin Klein jeans ad. When, you know,
I remember.
Brooke Shields was 15 years old at the time, and talking about nothing comes between me and my Calvin, you know, and everybody got all uproar about it. I would suppose because she was supposed to be a 15-year-old talking about she doesn't wear any underwear or suggesting she doesn't wear any underwear, but also the way they tried to have it come off, like kind of a sexual, sensual vibe. But it was a 15-year-old girl that they were dressing up to present as if she was a woman. So our society seems to have that issue going just, you know, like Roy Moore said, you know, he never dated any girls that he didn't talk to their mom first. It's like, come on, man. Exactly. I mean, you know, and that was the thing in the Southern thing, you know, older men, younger women, how in our society, so it seems to be more accepted than younger men, older women. Now, I mean, just over the last years, it's got more acceptable. But just, I'm saying our whole, the way we're flowing, you know, is from a kind of male-dominated, misogynistic perspective. You know, and when you
and
start
you're
including
right
other
there,
people.
Because when you talk about the Hollywood image, remember, let's just even look at animation, the Disney movies, Britney Spears. Look at all the Disney women and young women who have come out of there with that sexualized image, okay? Roger Rabbit, remember, I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way, okay? This is We really have, unfortunately, and maybe like you said last week, we're going through an enema. This country is engaged in an enema right now, which is cleansing out.
Wayne said the enema.
Yeah. So we're cleansing the house, and it's about moral. It's about a moral code of ethics, a moral fiber that this country eschewed. Because, I mean, if democracy is to stand as the leader of the free world, it cannot be encumbered by moral standards that are perverted. It can't stand in that lane and claim to be the leader of the free world. We are supposed to be the shining star. And if our star is tarnished by its leadership and constantly being perverting the law, because it's not just sex, but when you pervert the law and not abide by the Constitution that you swear is your guiding principle of democracy, then it starts to stink. It's your country's agenda starts to smell of hidden agendas that permeate the world's market, and no wonder our nation's image is tarnished at the moment, where other nations are saying, "I don't want to deal with America because all you're doing is exporting weapons, you're exporting sex, you're exporting perversions." And ultimately, that's not an ideal, even for countries who are struggling to identify themselves with a code of democracy or whatever philosophical, political agenda that you're pushing. But who are we to start calling the kettle black if our own moral compass is broken?
Yeah, well, that's always been the United States, right? We've always talked out of both sides of our mouths. And also, too, even countries that are trying to have some kind of moral code. You know, some of these countries that are very religious, you know, Islam is very important. Part of the things they're talking about, America is, because of the free society, there's those who can do immoral stuff. There's those who can watch any type of behavior and things like that in movies, just as long as they're supposedly not hurting other people. In a physical standpoint, but you know, some people that are very into their religion and into their beliefs, you know, that's some of the criticism of some of these people that have taken Islam and made it into their own image, you know, that used that as a way to point to the United States and say, see, the United States is not this place, because it's our very freedom that allows some individuals to do morally bankrupt things. And it allows the society to do that as well. I mean, we got a president who admitted, going into when he was head of the Miss Universe, teen Miss Universe, would go walking through the dressing room with these young girls getting dressed, you know, unannounced, and, you know, just all kind of crazy stuff. That's crazy. Yeah. That's like, I mean, you know, that makes me think that this country is being taken back to like the old Wild West days where, you know, you got enough money and enough power, you can do whatever you want. And it's still like that in the United States, even though we present the image that it's not like that. And I'll tell you, when George Bush was elected, then 9/11, it began to put something in my mind that maybe everything is not as it seems. Maybe everything they tell us is not the truth. Maybe, I don't know, is America supposed to be a democracy? Or was it just supposed to be a way for certain individuals because they felt they were being persecuted, or maybe they couldn't get along, or maybe they didn't even want to be there? How do we know the real story? If people have a tendency to lie and make up their history to make themselves look better or to justify their barbaric behavior, right? I mean, the barbaric behavior enacted upon the Native Americans was justified because the certain individual storyline that the natives were savages and they were bloodthirsty and they just wanted to kill and they were crazy, and the people that were coming over here and settling the country, as if the country needed them to come settle it, because somehow it was not going to flourish without their involvement. That's something we'll never know, but we'll also never know to what extreme had people fully been embraced in their diversity, had the diversity and contributions of all Americans fully been separated, fully been celebrated. We'll never know that, will we? But it's caused me to believe the lies that these people have told and the miseducation and that is inherent in our society from a racist standpoint, from one ethnic group standpoint. It's caused me to doubt everything that they try to tell us. So maybe it's not supposed to be a democracy. Maybe it's just supposed to be, you know, maybe it's supposed to be an oligarchy, or however you say it, where just the rich have power. I mean, you know, the system would lend itself. You know, if you see the money in politics, that's why, you know, Citizens United came along. We're going to put all this money into politics, and all of a sudden you got these guys perpetuating a lie that corporations are people. Okay. And let me just finish this point on the other end. They perpetuate a lie saying that the unions are anti-people. So they tell a lie, you know, that's their whole theory, tell a lie enough, get certain weak-minded people to believe it, people who believe whatever they read here on the open page that I have here on the computer. I'm sitting there looking at AOL. I mean, you use your common sense. You read some stuff on the Internet, and you might know, oh, that sounds a little bit far-fetched. Let me check it out. This is an information resource. All of this technology now is an information resource. So you're contingent upon backing up or backing up that information with your own research. You don't just believe what somebody tells you what they're saying. I mean, I even disagree with some of the people that I watch on TV, the Rachels and the Lawrences, when they get a little bit far-fetched and sensational in some of the stuff they're saying. But to just believe somebody's stuff hook, line, and sinker, you know, and go down with it, it's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me.
Well,
but that's America.
There's another celebrity who's been fired. I'm just reading this off of USA Today. Garrison Keillor fired for alleged inappropriate behavior by Minnesota Public Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Just today.
So,
creator of a Prairie Home Companion, Garrison Keillor.
I mean, you know, this is people, you know, this is interactions people have with each other, men with women, you know, men not knowing what's inappropriate. I mean, it should be common sense that it's inappropriate to drop your drawers in front of a woman that doesn't ask you to do it or is not giving you any indication that she wants you to do it. That should be common sense that you probably shouldn't do that, right? But I don't know.
However, now let's go back to Hollywood, because you and I already know this story, because one of the most celebrated moments of the director's couch came when Dorothy Dandridge took down Otto Preminger so that she could have the role of Carmen Jones in that remake of the opera Carmen. And it's been legendary. It's legendary. She went in.
About this story.
Here's the story. Dorothy Dandridge wanted the role. Lena Horne was being considered. Dorothy dressed up as Carmen Jones, the stereotypical dress of the black short dress skirt with the red top showing bosom, okay? Went into the audition with Otto Preminger and came out of there with the role. It's legendary, okay? And so it's happened, yes, and we know it in our industry, in the entertainment industry. It is a lot that has gone on with the director's couch, okay?
So you're saying the story is that he slept with Otto Preminger to get the role?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
That's the whole story. And it's a Hollywood legendary story. You never heard that
never
one?
Heard.
Oh, my God.
Never.
Okay.
Never heard that. No,
well,
never heard that.
Well,
But I do agree with you that the casting couch, obviously, that's been there. You know, I mean, listen, it's a very touchy-feely business. Also, too, it's also one in which people are vulnerable emotionally or whatever. And, you know, that's why sometimes you have these people hooking up and getting married after they're working together. Look at Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. They work together on a film.
Yeah.
You get close with somebody, especially if you're doing love scenes with them. You're supposed to fall in love with them. And that happens. What's your face? Jennifer Lawrence was going with one of the directors of one of her movies. She had met, so people meet people. That's where they meet their emotional counterparts or their partners at the job. You know, that could be done, but that happens all the time. So in that environment, in an environment where everybody wants to be touchy-feely in the first place and hugging on each other, this and that, some people don't know, just because somebody's hugging on somebody else doesn't mean they want to hug you, and some people see that and they think they want to get a hug. I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of stuff on movie sets. I've never seen to that extent where people are straight up abusing people, but I've been there where people talk to women the wrong way, suggest the wrong way, say inappropriate things. It's an environment that does not have the normal rules that you would expect to see in the business world, the regular 9-to-5 world. But now we've come to see that the 9-to-5 world apparently has its own set of problems along those lines.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So
it's incredible. Yes, sir. I noticed something that I'm sure it'll come to your attention rather quickly here. It's now that it's in the season of Christmas, and ultimately in Washington D.C. because that's where I grew up, the dressing of the White House and the Christmas trees on the lawn in front of the White House was always a special kind of tradition. We've had 8 years of the Obama Christmas tradition, which they made the White House very, gave it a very wonderful holiday cheer. I took a look at Melania's Christmas decoration of the White House, and I was I saw what looked to be like the hallway going down the in Emerald City, where Dorothy, this Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion, and Toto too, walking down that hallway to visit the wizard. I have never seen anything as ugly and as un-Christmas as what I've seen in the White House that's being showcased as this year's traditions. And there's a statement that's going around. I have to just say it, call it out. It's like, it's no longer just put Christ back into Christmas. Put Christ back into Christians. Because Christians have kind of lost their way
And here we are in this holiday season. We're about to light the tree here tomorrow, Thursday, here in New York, and setting off our season, you know. And Christmas is a very special kind of year, as well as Kwanzaa and Hanukkah and even the Muslim traditions of Ramadan. You know, we take those kind of things as our moral guide to understanding and appreciating our diversity. But when it takes a turn that's nowhere near the respect of the holiday itself, and when you got to take a look at what she's done to the White House, Eric, I've never seen anything like this. Never.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
It is ugly. There's no lights. It's like a hallway of just white light off of.
Well, you know, she is from another country, so you know sometimes
yeah.
other countries celebrate the Christmas season a little bit differently. But I was there. We took a family trip there during the Obamas, the last Christmas they had, you know, the Christmas
yeah.
decorations. It was very nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's crazy.
Never know. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, judging from her husband's, you know, gold, the main, everything's gold up in that tower over there, the evil tower they live in New York. Who knows what could happen? We got about another 13 minutes going on.
Yes,
I want to talk about
yes,
some news, a piece of history that came out. I was watching CBS this morning, yesterday, and anybody who listens
okay.
looks at my little Facebook page where I do my little rants and my kitchen report, I talked about it. And it appears, after all these years, well, they kind of knew a little bit and they let this information not be as well known. But now, the sister did research on the man, the slave, that taught Jack Daniels how to make whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
It was a slave that taught Jack Daniels
That's
how
right.
to make whiskey. And, you know, the
yeah.
story goes Jack Daniels was an orphan. He was working for this man. And he wanted to told Jack to learn how to make whiskey. And he put him with his slave, who was the whiskey maker. And this is the guy that was Jack Daniels' mentor, and taught him how to make whiskey. Jack Daniels, ironically, never was not a slave owner, and was not someone who
yeah.
adhered to that mentality of the difference between the races. Because it is said that he hired this man to be his right hand at the company when he started his Jack Daniels company. He also paid his white and black workers equally, and their
yeah.
pay was based on their seniority, not on their race. So Jack Daniels never was one, apparently, was one that didn't see color, that didn't go into the racism. And so there's an old picture of him. He's a little bit older, and everybody's white except for this one black guy sitting right next to Jack, who was Nathan. I think that they were calling him Nettles, the gentleman, but his real name was
okay.
Nathan.
Yes, sir.
And this guy was his son, sitting right next to Jack Daniels. So, you know, I was jokingly saying, if you want to get a racist Trump redneck supporter's head explode, tell him Jack Daniels was invented by a black man, and see him just kind of lose their mind a little bit. You know, because who would think that whiskey
yeah.
that's supposed to be that simple all these years, like everything else in America, there was a slave somewhere showing somebody how to do it. From the electricity.
Well, I actually know that story. I know that story because my father's family is from Tennessee, and they did bootleg. Okay,
that's right.
And my sister actually was interviewed by the Jack Daniels people as a potential client for her diversity training issue. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
I know that story, and so I, we are everything, we're everywhere, Eric. Our input
yeah.
to this nation it's been an incredible journey of both intellectual, spiritual, educational, financial, even the cars that were first made. Were better made by an African American out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, better than the Ford car, because the Ford car happened to be an assembly line car. But the car that was better made was made by an African American. That's a story
right.
that nobody tells, Okay, that's why I post that African American history every single day. It's an issue that ultimately will help liberate our country and put it back on the track that it needs to be. It's quite interesting that, you know, when they historians finally do write about Barack Obama and the first family that helped to put helped to cleanse the spirit of the White House, to be followed by an individual and his family who's had more questions about their moral guidance than any other president in quite some time, even worse than Clinton, and Clinton was impeached. This individual has put a stain into our nation's capital that's going to be a while before the Clorox comes behind it to clean it out. Okay? We're seeing.
Yeah, this reckoning from between the sexes that's going on. Perhaps there can be now a reckoning of diversity with all the other races that have been excluded out of the mainstream of America. And you know, that reckoning needs to come too. And here we have an individual in an office who seeks to take us back and divide us all. You know, I actually think that a lot of this information that we didn't know, a lot of history, black history or whatever. I mean, I had a white gentleman when I was working at a job doing a kind of telemarketing, telefundraising. I spoke to a guy that knew that told me, I didn't know, that the Lone Ranger was based on Vass Reeves, a black U.S. Marshal. And so the Lone Ranger is based on this guy. So, I mean, you know, if you go to even the word cowboys, we know that was originally the slaves, the cowboys, that would handle the horses. The guys would come out, who's your cowboy?
Go get
that cowboy. That's what they were. And as usual, what they did was adopt the term. Somebody decided it sounded cool. So they drew this image, incorrect as usual, just like they did of Jesus and all them incorrect images, and made it up this whole mythology about the American cowboy. Like he was, you know, John Wayne or Marshall Dillon, which no, originally the American cowboy looked more like somebody a whole lot different than that. Looked more like Morgan Freeman in Unforgiven than Clint Eastwood.
Exactly. That's right.
Exactly. So, I mean, I understand wanting to feel good about yourself, but you shouldn't want to feel good about yourself at the expense of telling lies about other people. And you should want to know the truth about yourself. And I think that a lot of these contributions, the stoplight, the gas mask, and all these things that African Americans have done that a lot of people don't know, including a lot of African Americans, I think also would give white Americans, my father said this, but I'm just really realizing it, if they knew the history and the contributions of many non-white Americans, I think it would cause fewer people to have a negative opinion about people that they've just been believing the party line too. You know,
yeah,
a lot of these people that are on the fence that might not be active racists, might not be fully believing, but they believe it a little bit because they don't know any better. They believe it because maybe they haven't met any black people or Spanish people or whatever. They believe what the news is or what the fake news, the real fake news, not Trump's version, but the real fake news is putting out there.
Yeah.
They believe that because they never met anybody else like that. But if they are open to enlightening their minds and not living in the prison of ignorance, maybe, just maybe, it could free them up from having to carry the burden of hatred. And understand and respect other people and respect the
contributions. You know, Eric, I saw something in Atlanta last Thanksgiving, last week, that warmed my heart. Because in 1973, when Hosea Williams started the soup kitchen, I was with him and his daughter, Elizabeth Omalami, and we were feeding maybe a dozen winos and people who just needed help, getting them sustenance in their stomach, and then council services as it was back in 1973. We were actually in the basement of the old West Hunter Street Baptist Church, which was the church that Ralph Abernathy had before he moved to the West End in Atlanta. And at that time in 1973, I remember working in the soup kitchen because it was doing God's work. Last Thursday, I'm standing in the World Congress Center where they fed 10,000 people. Eric, the story of the loaves and fishes for which many of us Christians know, Old Testament and New Testament, they know that story of that miracle. And I'm here to be a witness because I saw not only people get fed, even Arthur Blank, owner of the Atlanta Falcons, was in the line feeding, preparing the plates. And these people not only got food to eat, they got haircuts. Women got their, you know, their hair done. They had health screenings. They had clothes. That there was a line lined up for people to get clothes, a Goodwill type of clothes for free. You know, counseling services, helping people who needed help the most. Even the WNBA Atlanta Dream had a children's scape. My wife, who's the sales director for them now, they were there at the World Congress Center. 10,000 people, Eric. So that,
you know,
when we think about the reality of, as we get close to the close of our show, what is the responsibility that we have here on this earth? Our prime purpose in life is to help people. And if we can't do that, at the least, we can't hurt them. And those five core principles for every leader, no matter what your religion is, five core principles of us being human beings and servicing our fellow mankind is to feed, to clothe, to shelter, to heal, give medical attention, and to give hope to the hopeless. Now, what part of that dynamic are we not seeing from our leadership? Because when they start, you see what I'm saying, Eric? Because
I would say all of it. You know, that's a true blessing. You know, people say, you know, that's a true blessing that you're blessed when you get to serve, and that's what they say Jesus did. Right? And you know, people say, you know, when you do that, you're not doing it for someone else, because if you've ever done it before, you ever served someone who needed something, it really feeds your soul. And you're doing it for yourself.
Exactly.
You're giving to
your brothers. And in the end, that's right. Because that's right. Because in the end, what is really very important is if we're going to live in peace and harmony, it is not going to be done and gained by war. It never has been. I don't care what century, before Christ, after Christ, you tell me a single war, one war, that achieved peace.
Dr. King said an eye for an eye leaves both people blind. So that's pretty much where we're going to leave this show. We're at the end of the show. We want to thank everybody for listening to the Kay Thompson Live Show. My mother was chilling tonight. She had some things she had to do. And Wayne, I don't know. I guess Wayne was busy this evening as well. But we want to thank everybody for listening to us. We're on live every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/KayThompsonLive. You can also listen to our show because it's archived, so you can listen to any episode you want at any time. I want to say thank you to our resident historian and our co-host, Mr. Byron Saunders. Byron?
Eric, it's always a pleasure, my brother. Give my regards to the lady of the hour, the Kay Thompson Show itself, to Wayne, and to all the listeners. Thank you for your support. We'll see you next week, and peace and love always.
All right, Byron. Talk to you soon. Talk to you next week. Once again, I want to say thank you to everybody for listening to the Kay Thompson Live Show. You know, sometimes if you want to call in and talk to us, you can also call in and talk to us, even though we're a little bit long-winded ourselves. But 323-679-0906 is the number you can call in and talk to us when we're on the air live. We're going to be talking about that Michael Jackson discussion we had a couple of weeks back with my old classmate Cecilia Quarles is going to be on, and Glenda Taylor's notion about Michael being a freedom fighter. We're going to discuss that in the upcoming weeks. But I want to thank you for listening to us. This has been the Kay Thompson Live Show, the Blog Talk Radio Network. Take care.